Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous-led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hello and welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. You are officially listening to episode 110. It is the dawn of February and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for following and sharing and liking and just being a part of our podcast. It always surprises me when I get to meet people, like, for example, our last cohort who say they listen to the podcast. By the way, my name is Melissa. I'm here with Suta. How are you, Suta?
I'm doing really good. I love the way you just jumped into it. Let's keep going. Like, it is a little strange, right? When
people are like, oh, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, oh, no.
I don't listen to very many back. I really like to listen to when we have other culture humility trainers on, I like to listen to those interviews again, catching up, seeing how we're doing and stuff. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to say I had a rough little patch since our last podcast, a little bit of a health issue. You know, got a knot in my stupid shoulder blade again. I'm trying to figure out the source of this because I tend to get tension. I hold all the tension in my shoulders and back. And I'm trying to figure out the source of this stress because around me, I don't see it. Like, my house is nice and clean. We had this wonderful cohort that's wrapped up. All my bills are paid. Like, I'm like, why is this ball in my trap, like, causing all this discomfort? So I'm sitting here doing body audits and trying to, like, regulate and be super chill. And I'm like, what is going on, Melissa?
That's so funny. I've been going through exactly the same thing. And I was driving, listening to my favorite song, and I was thinking and reflecting on how you had mentioned that we are okay. Everything is perfect. We've worked hard and we constantly hustle. We're in communication in some way every day. And so we've earned it, you know? And it's like, I had that moment where I got to pump the brakes and look around and be really grateful for everything we worked for, especially that last cohort we had. We hit capacity with this last class anymore. And we would need one more facilitator, I feel like, in there to just stretch our stories around, you know, because that's where the learning comes from, is from the diversity of people and cultural experiences and backgrounds and perceptions. It's just really beautiful. And we had North America, the continent on lockdown, right? We had all four corners across Turtle Island covered. Yeah, it was just a really beautiful cohort. And I found myself really grateful for where I was at in life. But I was at the same time experiencing a vestibular migraine, which is when the little crystals on your inner ear plate dislodge and then float around and you feel vertigo and dizziness and not, like, I get nauseous really easy. So I felt that. And so I popped a Dramamine and I was thinking, like, what could possibly be wrong? Like, I thought that I had to reset my nervous system, because you're right. Everything, you know, I had my house clean. I'm at a point where I can pull out one of my 10 million crafts and finish it, which is a really amazing feeling, because once I sit down and work on those, I'm really fast. And I was just kind of doing the body audit and the external audit, my home environment, you know, checking in on all my people, seeing how they're doing. And I couldn't find anything wrong. So I was like, dang it, I need to, like, I did deep breathing work, like this, a breathe in for 2 seconds, hold it, and then breathe out for 6 seconds. And then I went and got some acupuncture and some cupping and some gua sha, especially right there on my shoulders and my back where I tend to hold it. And that's where I have historically held all my stress and tension is in my occipital lobe underneath. It's that ridge on the back of your head. And that has been historically so tight and and good at holding my stress that it's scar tissue right now at this point. And I've had doctors say, well, one thing we can do for your headaches is surgically remove your levator scapula muscle, which is connected to that rhomboid muscle that's giving you trouble right there at the bottom of your neck. Yeah. But
lobotomy vibes. Oh,
right. I know. I was really desperate for help with my migraines when I was younger. I was really a guinea pig for all different kinds of medicines. They had me on blood pressure medication, statins, I believe they're called. And it's just nothing really worked until I got this piercing in my ear, which made me really think about how trauma is held in your body and it could really get blockages. And then if I just look into that wording, there's a, you know, thousand and thousand year old culture that looks into the energetic movement of the body, the chi, and how that can be manipulated and unblocked and redirected through acupuncture or acupressure. And so I went and got some acupuncture yesterday, and I really like it. My body has a really good response to it. Specifically on my left side, I notice that things get blocked up. And when they do the point at the top of your head, it's my left side that will tingle down to my toes. And I kind of feel like balance after that. And I just feel really amazing afterwards. I don't know if it's that release of pressure or the redistribution of energy in my body, but I feel like I see clearer and I see colors better. And it's just like a constriction has been taken off the pressure around my eyeballs is probably physically what's happening. And I just feel more relaxed. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's a lot, right?
I want to try it. Like we were looking for health plans, and some of them said that they had acupuncture, you know, tied into the premium or whatever, but I couldn't find any, but I'm thinking it's worth the investment, because I got a massage to try and get this knot out. There's a language barrier, and she kind of made it worse, it felt like, because the day after, or the night after my massage, it was worse. And I had one of the worst sleeps I've had in a very long time. And I just thought, why is this happening again? Like, everything's going so great in my life. Like, I had that Saturday night off and I was cruising around Vegas and I, you know, did some shopping. I bought some new books and I just did all these wonderful things that I like to do. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so content right now. Like, I literally have everything I need. I'm so happy. This is just wonderful. My life is great. Thank you for all the gifts that I have to the creator. Like, I'm really grateful. And then like this knot started up. I'm like, okay, what is going on? And the massage just didn't work. So I'm thinking about other methods now. Like what you just described sounds so amazing, because seeing clearer and like the vibrant colors is amazing. I even went and sat in the desert all by myself this Saturday in the sun, because it's been pretty cloudy and rainy, which is really rare. I guess it is winter, so maybe it is common for that for this time of the year, but I just took advantage of the sunshine because we're not going to have it again until like Friday. So I sat in the sun for like 3 hours, just trying to like will my body to absorb as much good vitamin D as possible and trying to like push out whatever is stressing me out. It's a little bit better today, actually. I had a really good sleep, but again, it's been 3 weeks of just this uncomfortable, icky feeling of I don't know what, despite
it's exactly everything. The word that came to my mind is ick. It's just an ick feeling. Yeah, I can't shake
what
it
the
either.
Ick is going on.
And so, but I know what you're talking about. If you push on a knot and you don't give it enough attention, like you don't work it down to a point of relaxation, and knots are like onions, you have to peel them back in layers. And so sometimes there'll be like a little tiny hard bud underneath all of these easy layers that are able to unwrap. But if you just barely touch it and kind of gloss over it and then don't give it enough attention, your massage therapist should be able to feel that knot dissipate. And if they don't, then it's a really deep knot that can only be worked to a certain extent. And then you will feel like bruised and beat up the next day, and you have to guzzle a whole bunch of water and take your vitamins. I usually recommend some kind of like amino acid. Like I like those recovery powders. I like long distance stuff in recovery. But yeah, it sounds like she kind of glossed over it and didn't work it enough. And then it got angry and it came back. But do you think we're addicted in manifesting some kind of trouble in our life because it's normal from what
Maybe.
We grew up with?
That is a plot twist I didn't contemplate until now. I mean, there's always some kind of issue in my tissue, right? With all the trauma and all the BS that I've endured. And here I am, finally, you know, calm waters. My mind is calm, but my body is like, hey, I want to fight still.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Or like guilt from, like, you know, family and friends
feeling
not doing
good.
Well. Yeah. Like, we're not allowed to
that
do
is my,
well.
That is my number one guilt in my whole life. And I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I just had a meeting with the wonderful ladies from Her 38 Roses and Fifth Sun because they're planning a beating circle at the end of the month. It's going to be awesome. But I told them, I was like, I feel so guilty for being here sometimes because my life is so great. And here I am doing this great work with you all. And I feel like I left and abandoned my post back in my traditional territory. And they were like, we get it. We get it. But at the same time, everybody was all in agreement that I'm on the right path and this is where I'm supposed to be and I should just embrace it. And I was meant to be this far away and do this work with these people in this area.
I don't think Winnipeg deserves you.
Oh my gosh.
You're so much better than Winnipeg, aka murder capital of the world. It's a dangerous place for a Native woman to be. Drag the red. They haven't even completed that yet, have they?
Oh, they do every spring, I think. And I don't know. There's always donations open to help, but again, it's just like this somber place for me. And I was just reading, I started reading this new book and it's about trauma, you know, Black women. We're going to go into another episode about, you know, Black History Month, but I really resonated with this woman saying that there's just so many somber things that can contribute to your well-being. And I really see the plight of Black women and my journey really similar, you know, because of the historical trauma and the way society will beat you up. Because in this society here in America, Black women really get the worst of it. Whereas in Canada, Indigenous women really get the worst of it. So I was really resonating. I was like, oh my God, it sounds like this woman is talking about living in Winnipeg, because that is exactly how I felt. And I still feel guilty about that too. Terrible.
Well, there are two golden eagles hovering outside my kitchen window right now. So
see,
talk about
protected.
Yeah.
Protected vibes.
This conversation. It's giving blessed vibes. Yeah, I think, it's really important. Like, we're just stuck. Maybe that ancient part of our brain that's so, because I was reading into it and I've listened. I like to listen to my books, how our body, you know, throughout a person's lifetime, the typical average white female, you know, let's think of the women in our trainings who say, oh, I don't think I have a culture, or I've never seen racism, or I don't believe I've witnessed a microaggression, and that is my privilege. Like, I've just never even had the uncomfortableness of being around it. You're only supposed to go through very few traumatic events in your life, and then your body knows how to release it and let go. And typically you think of, like, your ancient brain as like the predator prey, flight or fight. And so I was looking into some biochemical hacks, so to speak, and how there's like this, and I did it at our life spa, where it's like induced shaking, where, like, if you get really nervous and you're starting to have panic and anxiety, maybe just honor what your body is trying to tell you and say that, thank you, body, for this message of safety, but I'm safe. And then if that doesn't work, it's like deeper in there, right? In the deeper part of the brain where your body is trying to react. And so that's where you induce, like, shaking. And that's usually done through a reverse body bridge. For me, I found that planks are really easy. Like, I've just started this little habit of, if I feel like some cortisol buildup or just too much tension and stress, I will plank against the kitchen counter or just popped out on the floor in the living room and plank until I shake. And then I hold it until I simply cannot anymore. And it's just my body just really, my muscles go into fatigue. And then I go into what they would call like a shavasana, which is a complete relaxation, like melt into the floor after that, and then take some deep breaths. And so what I'm telling my brain inside is, yeah, we just got chased by the lion. My muscles can shake it out now and get rid of that extra energy, and then relax, and then like pop a gum in or something, like chew, cud, whatever it is that deer do, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to think of biochemical hacks like that. And that's where, you know, the acupuncture came in a little bit more. And I'm going to do something super exciting that I've been wanting to do for years tomorrow. And I'm going to go to a zero gravity float tank, which is supposed to turn off all sensory everything and just help you reset to nothingness.
Wow.
Because everything is going right. Right. And I'm thinking of like, this is my chemical cycle, right? I always have a family crisis. Like I'm always waiting for that one shoe to drop. Like if everything's going good with me, I'm waiting for that call from a friend or from my family members to say, we're having a crisis and here it is. And we need somebody to save us. So
can totally relate. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so it's just, if that happens, getting to a point right now where like everything is environmentally, physically fine with me, and that I have to tell that ancient part of my brain like that's also fine. And this is a shift in my life where it's a new way of being now.
Mm. I love that. Serious somatics going on here. I've been journaling too. Like I've been doing everything that I possibly can. I've been writing pages and pages for the past couple of weeks. And I thought, my back, what's wrong with my back? Why is it always on my back? And then I, you know, dug deep and went even deeper to like my youth. And a lot of it I'm theorizing stems from being so insecure and rejected and all these things living in Winnipeg, and that my body kind of built up this poor posture from just all those feelings. And now that I'm no longer feeling those, my muscles are like, what are you doing? Why are you standing straight up? Why is your back muscles changing and moving to a confident state? And now it's hurting. That's what I theorized after, you know, days of journaling and really thinking about why my body is the way it is, because I do slouch and I have this insecure, you know, don't look at me kind of posture from years and years of carrying that, right? And now here I am in my mid 40s and I'm like, I feel flipping great and I look great. I sound great. I'm doing great things, all these wonderful things. So I'm a bit more upright and my back is struggling with that. And I think that's the cause of what's going on right now, because I can't narrow it down to anything else. Like there's nothing really wrong except for my body is just used to be shaped like an F and now it's like straight up L style. And it's like, I feel, you know, my body is can't keep up with my mind, I think.
Wow. Yeah. That's muscle memory. Muscle memory is a real beach, and it will, like, you could do chiropractic adjustments and massage and chiropractic adjustments. And if you don't change your mentality and the way you're sitting and the way you're sleeping, then your muscle memory is going to take you right back to where you were. And then this is like hardcore memory. You've got like memories.
No therapist.
Memories. But that's amazing to tell your body. I would think about that. And I would do those stretches, you know, where you're like almost in a downward dog, and then you can thread one arm underneath the other arm and you feel it right there in that trapezius muscle, right, the shoulder blade area. And then the one where you brace it on the wall like that as well. All of those.
I have all my little stretches categorized.
Yeah. And then breathe into that. Breathe into that different way. Like this is the new way.
It is the new way. And my body's like, whoa, what's going on? This new way is kind of hard, but I think it'll catch up eventually, right? It has to.
Yeah. I just visualized big you going over to like 25-year-old you and lifting your chin up a little bit and touching the middle of your back and like a, it's all okay.
Right.
It's all okay.
And then we were threading last night, our messaging on the Facebook about like, you imagine throwing a boyfriend into the mix with all this
greatness
and all this somatic issues? And like, because it's February, we like to try and do something relationship oriented to try and stay topical with the, you know, the mainstream holiday of Valentine's Day.
We kind of failed this year.
But, you know, and I just thought, I can't even imagine being with somebody right now. But at the same time, maybe my body's reacting to like always having to pay all the bills by myself. And like, maybe I'm low-key stressed about that because it just seems like a lot every month. And I'm really impressed by myself that I can actually afford everything that I have. And I maybe deep down, I'm worried, like I can't sustain it. Like I'm always waiting for that
poverty,
you know,
mentality.
Funding to drop. Exactly. Like there's a scarcity mindset that I'm also fighting in between all of these like deep rooted old issues in my tissues. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot right now.
Yeah.
Money. The body.
But like, what's the general messaging in America anyway about how successful women of color are or can be? Or if you're passionate, maybe you're just not. There's so many different words. Oh no, don't do it, Suta. Don't quote Taylor Swift.
Oh no. There's like these pop people that I cannot escape, and it's the Kardashians and Taylor Swift. I have nothing to do with them, but they just keep popping up in my life.
In my feed, yeah, I know. But yeah. She had a really great analogy of there's, I forgot what her analogy was.
Pretty sure she dated a Nazi too.
Oh my goodness.
That's why I was done. I was like, I'm done.
Which one was that?
I think it was like the one before this one.
Oh my God.
See how it's amazing how I know this.
I don't know.
I have been told, showing all this stuff about her life against my will. I guess I could delete my social media apps if I really don't want to know about anything. But it was like a big thing last year about how this awful person she was dating was like this terribly racist person. And it just goes to show like,
well, I'm glad she broke up with him. I'm glad she broke up with him. Yeah.
After every public outcry. After public outcry.
Oh no. Well, you know, it's worse when you date a man of color and he has like internalized racism. it's rough stuff.
Oh yeah. Odd. Don't even get me started on dating. I mean, holy moly.
We didn't do very good last night in talking about our love episode because we don't have time. And you know, yeah, we might need a little bit of help or relief would be nice, but would it be worth it if the man is like some kind of, you know, is a whole nother job.
That's how I worded it. I thought, imagine if you're in a relationship right now, it would really feel like, to me right now, because the way things are, it would kind of feel like a whole other job. And I don't think I'm ready for that because I am enjoying the calm waters of my peace right now. And it just feels like if I added another person into it, it would just be like waves that I would have to swim against or something. But maybe that's just my conditioning of all my bad experiences. At the same time, I'm like not in no rush for anything. I am truly just okay. And I was contemplating, it's been like a year since I've been on a date with someone here in this city. And I thought, wow, time flies. And I did a bunch of great stuff in that year. And like, I didn't even really notice that I wasn't going on dates. So
that was Tesla.
Maybe
man.
That's a positive.
Was that Tesla?
That was I went on a date with him like 2 years ago. I can't believe you remembered him.
Just the Tesla.
And you know that still, like just even last week, you know how profiles show up in your suggested area in Facebook? His face popped up there last week and I thought, no, why is he here? Like what's going on?
We haven't talked about him
alone
since it was over. Oh. So the heavy metal guy who's a business owner. But was like
right, one of my favorite restaurants that I don't go to anymore because I just, and I don't want to be that person. I thought maybe I'll just walk in there and get what I like to get. that I'm like, then I have to see them and like do the whole, hey, how's it going? Like, I just hate small talk of just this awkwardness. And maybe I should just get over it though. Maybe that'll help my body. Just maybe I'm avoiding too much. I don't know.
I found myself, well, I was forced to, I got the flu, like a couple day flu, and I was forced to be a hermit. My mom got COVID, and so she's not having yet. So I was just forced to be a hermit and clean my house and hang out inside my house. And I just really enjoyed the solitude. And I don't want to feel guilty about not hanging out with people. I like being by myself, and I like getting out of the city and driving someplace deep into the mountains where nobody is probably going to be on that trail to be by myself there.
Do we sound crazy? Because I'm exactly the same way. I love being at home with just my cats. And I overheard myself saying this on a Friday afternoon. I was like, can't wait to go home with my cats and read. And it's like Friday in Vegas. And I'm saying, can't wait to go home and read. And I thought, holy smokes, Melissa, who have you turned into? But it's true. The solitude is unmatched.
That's beautiful, isn't it? It's just, it's bliss. It's a really,
it
it's like
is.
A peace and a joy, and you experience bliss. I don't know of another word for it, really, because it's hard to think of a word for that feeling that you get when everything is, you know, there's no tension to cut with a butter knife in the air.
And I've been hanging out with some people, some artists collaborating with them and going into the desert. And then they suggested we all go to another location, like an hour away, make it an overnight trip and all rent a house together. And that's where I started to feel my reclusive, like introvert self, like resisting that idea. I was like, whoa, I don't mind going to the desert with people for like a day, but, you know, renting a house together with people I don't know that well, who are cool though. It's just like my solitude was really shaken. So I still even haven't agreed to that yet because I can't even, maybe that's why I have a knot. It's because these people want to hang out with me in the desert, but like help them shoot a music video for their band, which I love doing because I love just doing creative stuff. But then they were like, let's all share a house in the desert. And that's where my eye twitched. And I'm like, I don't think I can do that, but I'll meet up with you guys later. Like that whole script was coming out of me. Okay, Melissa, you really wanted to collaborate more and not be so reclusive and introverted this year. And here you are with all these collaborations coming up, and I'm resisting the closeness, right? So maybe that's why I have a knot too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking new friendships are good, but I mean, I have my solids since kindergarten. You, I've got my over a decade friendships, you know. I just and it's a lot of people that I hold very near and dear, and I am really bad at keeping up with those people. We love each other and we check in, but I'm really a hermit, and I really just want to embrace that. I think I get my best ideas, and I really like that the rooms that it puts me in, like when I have to socialize, I find myself in rooms with doctors from around the world who are just really amazing at what they do, and they're really into it, and they're just knowing in depth these really intricate processes of prions or clay particles or something odd, and it's just really fascinating to me. And so I think maybe we're the same, and they just like to stay home and read their stuff and do their work, and then we when we have to get together with people, we'll go to this conference and then we have like hors d'oeuvre helped conversations where you can just stuff your mouth with a cracker if you don't want to talk.
I'm a master escape artist. Masterful.
I maximize my time at conferences. I treat it like speed dating almost. And I usually look at the agenda and I look at the speakers and I see the people that I want to check out and talk to. And that's usually more than I have time. And so then I have to prioritize and hack that list of who I might get to like meet and talk with. And then I just, every break, I'm like a little bee hi, this is me. This is my project. I got this.
When we went to Seattle, I saw you in action doing the speed meetings with everybody.
Yeah. And it's like speed dating, and it's just trying to maximize your time. And I don't spend a lot of time speaking like knee to knee with somebody, unless you can, you'll have better luck getting me out in meeting in person if you do it for coffee or a hike. Like, I love hike meetings, and if we can do something walking, that's, you'll like have a 100% chance success there. It's just, I want to be free. I don't want to be in a building or a cubicle. I think it sucks to wait till retirement to get out of your cubicle and be like, I'm going to live, I'm going to have some adventures when I retire. And your body, yeah, it's not a cool way to live. Like, this is the prime. This is the day where something cool happens. And so
I love it. I love it. You know what? I'm actually mentally preparing because I'm getting a tattoo in like 3 hours, and it's going to be kind of a long one. So this is a new tattoo artist, and it's my coworker's husband. So Melanie's a bartender at the job I work at on the weekend, and her husband's this, you know, native Hawaiian guy who's really cool and owns this shop that just opened up last year. So, and a lot of my other coworkers have gotten tattoos from him. So I'm seeing his work daily when I go to my job, and I'm really excited. But if you've ever had a tattoo, you know that you sit with this person for hours and hours, and it's a serious energy exchange. So I was every tattoo that I have on my body, I've deeply researched the person who's done it, and I haven't had one in about 3 years. So I'm really not nervous, but just excited to kind of feel what his energy is going to be like. And I don't think I've only had one other male tattoo me. I usually go for women of color. I try to support their businesses, but just seeing his work and the rates and just having this connection, I thought, I'm going to go with this artist and give it a whirl, because he's tattooed so many of my other coworkers and it looks fabulous. He's done everything from like Mayan culture tattoos to like Disney to like tribal to everything, right? So I'm showing up with this weird, you know, Anishinaabe / Death Valley Turtle Clan full moon tattoo. And I think he's going to get it because he already messaged me and was like, let's do it. This looks great. So I'm going to be spending the next few hours with this person. So I'm going to have to like engage in the talk.
I like that.
Know this person. Yeah.
I like that healing though too. And then sometimes like I was way less discerning with who inked my body. my friend Drea, she bought my first armband for me when I was 21, and she just bought me the gift certificate. And because I kept putting a bracelet there and it kept breaking, and she was like, you need to get that permanently. It's like a friendship bracelet. And so that's there. I hope she's doing good. She had a really strong spirit when she was doing good. So, and then my buffalo on my arm is very much like yours, because I had to describe it from a dream, and I had to tell people my dream, which is a really personal dream to me. And it's a dream of maybe a sudden realization that you are alone, but you have everything you need. And in your aloneness, you are never, ever like completely alone. You have all of these ancestors, and you have a power. And so I like to share that dream with people who are trying to get through sobriety, because it's really a struggle, and it's a fight for your spirit and your dignity and your life force and all of that beautiful stuff. And that is happening all under the cover of this reality. And so I had a hard time with that one. And I'm like, it's a buffalo. And I'm like, got hand signals. And it's like dancing from one hoof to another, but it pulls up and it rears up and it's snorting and it's moving its head back and forth. And meanwhile, this other herd is like raising dust behind it. And it's telling me that I have to go. It's going to clear the obstacles. It's time for you to scoot out of the way. Scoot out of the way, Suta. And let these other things just take care of the obstacles for me. And it was hard. I described it to three or four people who were artists and tried to get some mock-ups of it. And then I found this heavy metal stoner guy who I described it to, and he was like, "That's badass." And he took like one day and then texted me a picture of something. And it was
the closest
that I had ever seen. And so I spent 16 hours with him. The last stretch, it was 8.5 hours, and I pushed through. I didn't eat. I sipped on some water. My sugar went down a little bit. I should have had like some granola bars or fruit strips or something on me, but it's meditative. I really like the sound of the tattoo gun and what that does. I don't know. It's not like masochistic. It's not like I like the pain, or if maybe not the pain is a distractor. It's symbolic of struggle and pain that I'm trying to move through. It's like a physical manifestation, and this beautiful artwork that comes out afterwards, and then the story I'm able to share. And I don't really tell it often unless somebody says, "Where did you get that from?" So
I love the story of your tattoo. When you told me in the beginning, because at first I was like, it's a buffalo, but what is it doing? And then you told me and I thought, whoa. So tattoos are very serious for me as well. I have like my right arm is kind of like my wild, I guess you could say, contemporary side. And then my left side is like all devoted to my culture and family. And I've been wanting to merge the two territories that I come from now is the Anishinaabe, and I live here in the desert. And I really believed in the pandemic that I would be moving back to Canada. And I made all these plans and I was talking all this stuff. And then I thought, I just can't. I love it here so much. And I was in Death Valley over the Christmas holiday and it was a full moon. And I thought I wanted to always get a certain mountain range tattooed. And then, or that day I was driving by it and the full moon had just risen and it was still like light out. It was super early. And I thought, that's it. That is the mountain with the moon that I want. And it just all clicked together. The lake from where I'm from, the Manitowabe, the turtles, the water, and then the mountain and the moon to represent this part of my life that I will probably live here for. I'm not sure. And I just really want to put that on my body to like show that I am part of these two different areas now. And tomorrow is my 9th year of moving to the US. Wow. Date. Like it's a February 6th is the day that I moved here in 2015. So it's just like perfect timing again. Like it just all came together. And next year will be 10 years, which is really crazy. And I just wanted to commemorate that on my personal side, which is my left arm. It has a lot. I have the same tattoo my mother and my sister have. You know, I have a homage to my parents, my grandparents with the snakes. And then now the land is going to be immortalized on me in my body forever.
And your clan. Your clan, too.
So it's so important to me, right? And it finally came together. I was kind of wanting to get this last year, but it just didn't work out. Like too many things happened and I let it go. And I thought, okay, not the time to do it. And then it all just clicked over December when I saw that full moon and that mountain range. And I thought, okay, it is time to get the tattoo. So it's happening and I'm really happy for it. So maybe that meditative gun sound that I know so well will like clear out a lot for me today because it's raining here. And I'm struggling with that as well because I've been so acclimated to so much sunshine and warmth. There's just this huge depressive rain system that's been coming in from California. Like they're getting it really bad and we get the leftover of it. It's not intense, but it's a lot. And it's been days and days of it with little peaks of sunshine here and there. So I'm going to just absorb all of this to flush out everything and start anew.
Well, it's really hard. I feel like, you know, I've been trying to think of the aspen tree analogy that I used in class because it is gone. But I'm pretty sure I said something along the lines of people, like things in our environment are connected and how you can have an aspen tree grove and it can be 150 miles long. And the tree at the far south end of the grove is still the exact same tree and part of that same plant on the north end. And so they send biochemical messages, warnings, and news, comfort, and resource allocation to parts of the grove that are struggling. And I wish humanity was like that, because we're really good at sharing our pain. We're really good at sharing our anger and our discomfort and dislike of each other, right? But right now, I think our balance is often we're struggling to share the resources and the good feelings. And I feel like you said depressive rain. I just went off on it. So sorry. But it's like in the rain, right?
I almost stopped myself from using that word to describe it, but that's how it feels to me.
That's it, though. I feel like it's it, because rain and water molecules can be transformed almost instantaneously when it hits a certain energy projection. That's why people have water ceremonies, and we heal with water, and things happen. Major energy transmissions happen with water. And so when we have these major weather systems moving across the country, and we have the state of the world that we're in right now, it's really hard. You'd probably be a pretty psychopathic person if you're not feeling some kind of sadness or discomfort or ick. And so,
right.
Yay for us feelers.
Right? Totally struggling with all the surface level rain and all the stuff going on in the world. But then I sat there, I even went out just before we recorded and sat there and like listened to it and smelled it. And I thought, this is going to help everything grow. When April rolls around and the desert goes into bloom, I'm going to say, man, I'm glad it rained, because look at all this beauty around me. Look at all the beauty that's grown because of it, because it's going to actually nourish everything and everyone around me. So I snapped out of it. You know,
yeah,
getting better.
It's going to be a much different summer this year. You got to do all your summer things early, because it's going to be pretty smoky this year. It's like 80% drought, severe drought in some areas. So,
wow.
Yeah, more and more forest fires, which unfortunately means more and more of that flame retardant spread around the mountains and the rivers, which is really horrible for endocrine systems and food chains and all of that. So hopefully they decide to just drop water instead of the chemical flame retardant.
Well, listener, if you are experiencing issues in your tissues, please feel free to leave them as a comment, because I would love to relate to you during these unprecedented times of the world. I would love to hear about you.
Lots of love.
Well, thank you for listening to the Indigenous Vision Podcast, produced by yours truly. We are so glad our podcast found you. If you would like to join any of our upcoming cultural humility trainings, we do have one that is scheduled virtually starting Tuesday, May 7th. If you would like more details, I have shared the link in the show notes for this episode. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can find us at Indigenous Vision, and on Instagram at Indigenous Vision Media. Thank you so much. Don't forget to share with your friends. We will be back sooner than later.